Good afternoon. This is June 25, 2020, Thursday evening, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, your healing code call for the week. We welcome you. We appreciate you being here. Any comments would be appreciated. Anything you would like to ask, we will do our best to answer. This is your time, so let's use it for your benefit and for your desires and needs. Does anyone have anything they would like to start out with before we start out with the Universal Healing Code? Okay. So we shall begin with our healing code. Get comfortable. And give yourself permission to know whatever you need to know in this moment to heal. I pray that all known and unknown images, negative, unhealthy beliefs, destructive cellular memories, and all physical issues related to. Take a deep breath and just think about what is causing you the most stress, the fear, unbelief in this moment. That it would be found, opened, and healed by filling me, you, with the light, the life, and the love of God. I also pray that the effectiveness of this healing be increased by 100 times or more. Both hands bridge. Both hands, Adam's apple. Both hands, jaws. Both hands, temples. Both hands bridge. both hands, Adam's apple. Both hands, jaws. Both hands, temples. Both hands, bridge. Both hands, Adam's apple. Both hands, jaws. Both hands, temples. I encourage you to take a deep breath and notice how you feel, what you're thinking, what you would be like to be doing. Being completely at peace and honesty with yourself, what would you like to say in this moment, in this time, either about your issue, about the process, what is going on in your life? If you have anything you would like to ask, comment upon, say, I do. Please press 2 to raise your hand. Anyone? Star 2 to raise your hand. Hello. Anyone have anything they would like to say? Is there a topic anyone would like to hear discussed tonight?
Hello.
Hi, Pat. 5446. You're on the air.
That's me. Hi, Linda. How are you? So good to hear your voice again.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you and yours, too.
Thanks.
Did you have a nice birthday? Did you get through celebrating?
Oh, that's right. You all sang happy birthday to me. I remember. I didn't even. I appreciated it at the time, yes. And I didn't think of it right now. But, yes, that was fun. And I had an interesting. Let me see. What did I even do? It was so different this year because my sister and I couldn't get together because she's stuck in her apartment and I'm here. But I think I had a nice day. Now, I don't remember what I even did. I got a bunch of cards, which was lovely. And I'm sure I must have treated myself to something, knowing me.
Well, great.
I can't remember what that's it might have been. Yeah.
That's a great thing, treating yourself,
Yeah, I had a good day. I'm quite sure I did, although I couldn't bring it to mind right now. But I just wanted to say hello to everybody. And I just wanted to say how grateful I am for these calls and for the codes and the coaches. And it's so important to be connected to others. I'm just kind of learning that a little more as the time goes on. I was more focused on things, I guess, materialism, and I probably still am to a large degree. But I'm also starting to wake up to the fact that it's really nice to have people to be connected to, people in your circle of life, to especially people like people who have a common interest and goal and are on the spiritual path and want to better ourselves and do the best we can for ourselves and each other. It's really important to connect to people like that. It makes a big difference. I guess it's on my mind now because I just came out of a Zoom call of a spiritual group here in New York City. And I was feeling so crummy before that and displaced and kind of out of sorts. But it didn't consist of much other than, the fellow who led it said a few words. He didn't speak at length, and then he gave every single person on the call or Zoom, if they were on Zoom or on the telephone, which I was, just a moment to say a couple of words. And it was just very nice to connect like that. And it was kind of interesting, too.
And what was your word for the day?
Well, I was not expecting to be called on because it was my first time with that group and I didn't know how they worked it. I thought the other people who were speaking had, you know, raised their hand like we do on this call. So when he said my number, my cell number, because I was on the phone outside because it was such a nice day, so I did it outside, and he said my number a couple of times before I realized it was me. So I was completely taken by surprise, but thank goodness I did have something to share, and I'll share it with you gladly. I managed to tell him that I have been terrifically inspired by the last few weeks by this book of guided meditations that I have. It was written and put together in, I think, the late 40s. By a minister of the church that I was connecting to tonight. And I don't know if he even had heard of that, the other guy from the 40s, because it was such a long time ago. But this book has, I do my codes to it, and that's the part I'm happy to share with you. I'll do it one position per line of the guided meditation, which is in words, and it's a written form, and he has it on different topics. And everything is so strengthened that way. The meditation is strengthened. The codes are strengthened. It's like a truth-focused statement for every position. And it's just, I really feel that the writer of that book was extremely connected to the divine. So I managed to share that. I had that to share, which was nice because I was completely taken by surprise about about talking on this call with all these people, but it was fine. It worked out. And I also, coincidentally, recognized another lady on the call from a different group I go to. She has a very unusual name, and she also has a very unusual accent. She's from England, so I knew it was her right away. And so I was able to say hello to her, you know, through that call, which was nice. Anyway, so I just wanted to say hello and
well,
what I just
you.
Said.
yeah. Well, thank you, because I think, well, I've always believed it's important that we connect and we will have people that we connect with for different reasons, you know, different levels.
Yeah.
But at least we're connecting this
yeah.
period when we have not been able to make that human contact and mm-hmm. that human touch, I think, is devastating to the, well, I know it's devastating to the human mind and body and spirit and
yeah.
and relationships. So
yeah.
thank you for sharing that. Even,
you're welcome.
Even in this time, we can be connected and sense that belonging. So thank you, Ms.
Yeah.
Pat.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah. One of the words that came up for me as I was thinking about tonight, it was not enough, or the scarcity or the lack belief that so many of us have at different levels. And what it does, that's a form of isolation and a form of condemnation that is very destructive to the human spirit and to the human mind and human relationships. So what is your fear on the call? And Pat, I'm asking, what is your fear, or what has been your greatest transformation during this time that you have learned about yourself that you would not have learned had you been about the busyness of life?
Hmm.
If anyone has any comments, I would be delighted to hear them. Ms. Pat, you're still open if you have anything
oh,
you'd
okay.
like to say.
I sure do. Yeah, I was sent home from work on March 17th, so. And it was a long time before I was sent out to do any kind of constructive work, which I was, I think, around just the day after Memorial Day. So I've been working a few weeks. But before that, I was really learning what it was, well, to have my life back, to tell you the truth. I wasn't having an hour-plus commute morning and evening to contend with anymore, and I was taking some lovely walks. I may be unusual in the fact that I have never felt put out in any way. I have not been the least bit put out by the COVID thing. For some reason, I am so blessed. It was never an issue for me at all. I sensed from the very beginning that I would be all right with this and that there was no reason to fear. So I went out every day. I felt like it didn't even exist. So I did what I could do. I had like a 2.5 month vacation from work, which was I hadn't had since I graduated college, which was before when I was in college. I had, you know, in school. I haven't, and this is like going back a long over 30 years. So I hadn't had a vacation like that in a long, long time, and it was just amazing. I learned to appreciate my neighborhood. I have never really walked around this neighborhood. Who had time? Weekends were always about laundry and cleaning the floors. So I was getting a chance to really, you know, admire the landscape. You know, and then I finally knew what my mother meant. She used to say, oh, you know, we're lucky if we can just get up and look at the sky. Well, I used to kind of look down on that, I'm ashamed to say. But now I see what she means. The sky is beautiful. It's just so nice just to see the darn sky. I was like learning
yeah.
to like stuff like that. And I do. And just seeing the people in the neighborhood to say hello and getting to know a couple of my neighbors a little better. I know, because my neighbor, we're both, I mean, we wore masks and all, but I could tell she wasn't afraid either, let's put it that way. But we did what we were supposed to do. We didn't, like, tempt fate or anything. But I got to know her better, and she made me a quiche. And she spent time in my apartment because her cell phone broke, and I was able to you know, connect her to the Sprint people so she could call them, and we had a nice visit. I mean, it was nice. I have getting, you know, I was getting to know people. I've had a good time. Anyway, they finally sent me back to work, but thank God it is not the kind of work, it's not in the office anymore. It was more of it's a food hub center, and so I feel I'm being useful there to the Uber drivers who, they need to connect to the food distribution service on their smartphones, and so I help troubleshoot the problems which often occur on their smartphones, such as not getting paid and different or registration or things like that. So I'm doing something, and it's right next to the most gorgeous park I've ever seen in the city. And so at lunchtime I go there and just sit there, and it's just wonderful. So my life has totally improved.
Well, how will you continue that if you have to go, when you go back to work in the office?
I have no idea when they're sending us back, and I'm just going to take day by day. I was going to retire anyway this coming October, and I see no reason to change that unless it just gets too complex, because you do have to deal with a lot of different city agencies. But I really think it's a wise time for me to say, you know, goodbye to office work, because I realize, I mean, I knew I was not happy at all going there way before the COVID thing. I just haven't been happy, and it's been getting worse. The various assignments I got, I felt less and less connected to them. But I must say, my boss is a lovely person. I never had any problems on that score with her in the several years I've been in her unit. That part, and the people are very, very nice. It was never the issue in this unit, which I've been in since 2015. So almost 5 years. You know, it's more than 5 years. Anyway, so, but it was the work itself. I was just not, it wasn't for me at all. I wasn't understanding a lot of it, and it was all this bureaucracy involved, and it just wasn't for me. I need to do something that has more meaning. So right now the job I have does have some meaning. So we'll see what happens. I think the mayor is going to want this food thing to go on for a while, so I may be working there for quite a while, because I don't think they want to bring people in the office anyway in New York City. We, you know, for at least not fully. So we'll see. We'll just see.
Well, congratulations.
Thanks. Diminish anyone's experience who has had a terrible time with this. I mean, I know it's been a nightmare for a lot of people, and some people, I even know colleagues who have not survived, because I saw a lot, I knew one personally, and then I've seen more emails since I was finally able to get on my office email a couple of days ago, and I saw different names of people. So, I mean, I know that people have suffered tremendously, so I don't in any way discount that for them.
And you have the divine right and to enjoy this, and with your heart of gratitude, that is great.
Yeah.
Is there anyone else who has any experience they would like to share during this about this time? Anyone? Sartu? Okay. Well, Ms. Pat, I always appreciate your contribution and your gratitude and sensing being part of your growth.
Yeah, oh, thank you.
Okay, Ms. Pat, I'm going to mute you and see what this other lady, feel free to come back. Okay. 1799 Chicago, Illinois, is your line's open.
Hi, this is Sheen. And
hi.
Yeah, so I'm glad. I think I can share part of the peacefulness that the other lady shared. But my perspective is the challenge for me is that with kids being at home and seeing them not really have a structured life and not being able to go out, have play dates. So they're at home. They spend so much screen time, and it's triggered some fear in me that I always know I have a fear of losing control. And I think in this particular situation with my kids, it brought up this feeling of that I want to control. I want them to have a healthier structure, life in the summer. But my husband is not as concerned about their screen time. We're not totally on the same page, so I feel like I can't get him to agree with me. And therefore, just tell the kids, hey, you just have however much time you have, and then you got to figure out something else to do. So I know that by nature, I function in structure, because that's part of my upbringing, that I kind of grew up during those primary years in the boarding school. So that's part of my issue, my struggle, that it's hard for me to think outside of structure. And when things are kind of organic, it doesn't even mean that it's bad. It makes me feel unsafe. And when I feel like they are having a lifestyle that's not the most healthy, productive lifestyle, that makes me feel afraid of failing as a parent, makes me afraid that they will fail as individuals. So it just, that internal struggle, even though I try not to demand so much so that they won't feel exasperated by me, but internally I'm not at peace. So I feel that struggle. So I wanted to see if there's any suggestions that you would have for me. I did get a Trilogy custom code last week from Johanna. And a couple of times I feel like after I did it, I felt even more, I still felt burdened. It's almost like in my mind, I try so hard to be okay with it. I try so hard to be at peace, but somehow my memory is just, or the way the default programming was just fighting so hard for me to hold on to structure. Like I keep thinking, oh, what if the day looks like this? What if I tell them you can do screen in the afternoon, but not morning, evening? What if, I keep fighting to get them to a place that they can have a schedule, but they don't like that. And then my husband doesn't think it's necessary. So I just find myself struggling from within. And I really wish I could enjoy them more and enjoy the summer with them more. But I feel like this conflict is robbing my joy and peace. And
well,
so
is
I
it or
see.
Not? Is the
what?
Is the conflict? Yes. And I would encourage you to be very clear on your words, that instead of a word like structure, you might soften it a little bit, like the word with we have order or we have processes that is going to give us more free time together. So you state a process and then you give an outcome that there will be equal time for everyone to be themselves. And I would, in your custom code, I would encourage you to ask yourself a question. When was it unsafe for me to be me, happy, loose, dancing, joyful, ever whatever words you would describe it? Do you remember a time when you were just free to be you?
I can't remember.
Yeah, and I sort of sense it had something to do with you, and then I don't know where this is, but you wanted to, like, play with dolls or play house or something, and some adult said it was not safe for you to be playful. So not knowing, not ever being able to play, and be playful, just pure playfulness. You don't know what that's like, and you're trying to protect your children and your family from feeling that fear or the emptiness or the shame or the condemnation that you felt. So
yeah,
one of the questions...
I don't have that memory of just being a kid, being happy, being, you know, just simply play and just enjoy it.
Yeah.
I just don't think I have much of that experience.
Well, what would that feel like for you today if you had it, or if you had had it? Or what would it feel like for you to do that with your children today?
You're asking me, or just let me think about it?
If you want to answer it, fine. If you want to think about it, if you want to be with it, if you want to experience it, just get up and be as free as they are one day and see how you resist it, what you think, what you feel, and let yourself go as much as you can, just being in that childlike nature and atmosphere. If I could have played more, if I could have been free, what would I have done? So you begin to have this conversation and this interaction with yourself, that you're opening up your subconscious to really be truthful with you. That's a weak move.
I'm writing down the question so I can think about it more later.
Well, what I would encourage you to do is to invite the question to come to you when you are ready and you are available to be with it in a way that you can just go do or go play or go be whatever. There's part of your structure and your discipline. If I don't write it down, I forget it. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm just inviting you to be as free as your children seem to you are sometimes. But if they're living under your watchful eye, also, I would begin to wonder, what is that doing to them? And do I want them to grow up not ever playing and being free? Yes. Take that breath on down. Yes.
Yes, I'm writing it down.
Well, good for you. You're being a very good person.
Yeah, because I don't even know. I don't even naturally think that way. So I really appreciate these questions. If I can add a little bit just to share with you, I think I know why. I don't know how to think that way because I think growing up, because of lack of nurturing, and I've learned the way to receive love is when I perform well. So I think in order to survive, quote unquote, I think I learned to perform, to produce. And so it's always about how much I can accomplish. And when I can accomplish a lot, I feel safe because that's when I get people's approval, compliments. And so I've always been an achiever in that sense. But it's always hard for me to have peace. So times like this, when it's not structured and they're just doing whatever they like to do, and then that makes me feel like, oh my gosh, it's almost like I'm seeing them as me, that they're not being productive. They're not doing things that are beneficial for them to really build skills or characters or whatever, you know, you think is important in life for their future. So I feel like, oh my gosh, they are not doing that. So they're not safe. And if I'm not guiding them on that path, then I'm not doing the right thing as a parent. So then I don't feel safe. So altogether, I don't feel safe when it's just kind of go with the flow, everybody in the house do whatever they like to do. So everybody else is having a great time. I'm the one internally struggling. I used to fight with them, and then I realized it wouldn't go anywhere. So now I've learned better. I'm not going to fight with them, but I'm internally struggling. And
So you've got the double stress on you now.
Right.
It's a double stress.
And
so I would encourage you to really begin to live your life in a childlike way with wonderment, excitement, gratitude, and watch your children. Sometimes just accidentally drop something that, oh, look what mommy did. Come help mommy. And you participate them in your goof ups and in your life. You life with them. You cry with them. You rest with them. You teach them how to be intimate with others and with themselves so that they never miss an opportunity to connect at the deepest level of being a human being. And that was totally foreign to you, wasn't it? That would be very uncomfortable for you, right?
Yes.
Yes. And so you just take it.
I think helping them to, in terms of connecting with others and themselves, I think I'm definitely at a much better place than, you know, a year or two ago. I think, you know, the healing code has literally transformed me, even though I'm still totally a struggler. Believe it or not, I've come such a long way that I actually, for the most part, can have peace, can get myself to a peaceful place. This is one of the humps that I'm feeling stuck. But for the most part, I actually could get myself there, which years ago, like, forget it. I wouldn't even know how to connect with myself, how to calm myself down, or I wouldn't even understand why I'm not feeling safe. I didn't even know I didn't feel safe. So a lot is covered.
Yeah, you've got... It's more your story now than I think who you really are. You know what I mean by that?
Say that again.
It is more your story than it is who you really are. Because I heard softness. I heard compassion. I heard a wonderment, you know, about your children. But because it's more in your head than it is in your spirit now. Because if you let that totally go, what would your household look like? What would your children do? You would have total chaos in your mind.
So are you saying, like, my struggle is more in my story rather than who I am?
Yes.
Is that-
I don't think that's who you are at all. I think you're compassionate, loving, kind, structured lady for the sake of order and protection of your children. But this thing of you being in control and having to make sure everybody's safe and everything is in its place and done orderly is more in your head than in your heart. Because if it was in your heart, it would be creating a lot of stress.
I do feel that the disorder, I do feel the stress, though, because of a lack of order. But not as
intense as
the past. I can say that.
Yeah. So you own the journey. Congratulations.
Oh. Can I arrive at some point? I guess this part also makes me feel a little, this struggle that which I haven't had for a while, the feeling of I'm stuck. I can't get myself mm-hmm. out of it, even after a few sessions of healing codes or the trilogy. I think made me feel a little bit of a discouraged. I'm like, oh, I thought I was at a better place. I understand life is a journey, and it's a process. I understand that, but I just thought I was further along than, still feeling stressed and stuck with, this structure thing with my kids. Because that's always been a struggle for me. And summer break is always stressful for me for that reason, which is it's embarrassing to say that. Because, parents, especially moms, they look forward to summer break, just do whatever with their kids. There's always that extra layer of stress for me. Because I feel like I'm losing control.
Well, I would encourage you just to let the control flow and just feel what you're feeling in the moment and be able to express it in truth without condemning yourself and ask what is it that you really, really, really want in this moment. Is it more important of a toy is put in the box, or that your kitchen is clean, or is it more important in a moment when you see your children or your husband, you can go and just be with them with just pure joy and appreciation? And those are choices you get to make, that as you make them in truth and love and light will truly give you peace.
So how do I reconcile the struggle that I have when I feel like, okay, they're just on the screen. I don't think that's good for them. They're on the screen to, that many hours in the day. That's not good for them, but nobody seems to be concerned other than me. Why just not try not to think about it?
Well, you can be thankful they got screens to look at. You can be thankful they're intelligent enough to operate them. And you can begin to interact with them and say, I know you're on screen time if it's, unless it's designated school time. Everybody seems to have a different version of this homeschooling. But, mommy would like to, let's just go out and have some ice cream, or let's go walk in the sun or something. Please come with me. I would love to have your company. So you begin to create experiences that is greater than what they're having now in the moment, so that they will come and participate. Being a mother is a diligent, sacred position. And it is also very stressful, and she has to take her personality and her DNA and every one of her children's DNA and be whatever they need in the moment. And that's a privilege and a blessing, but it is also a stressful juggling point. And I don't think children came in the world to be orderly.
Somebody told me that too. I've healed enough. I actually have done some of the things you suggested, like, join me to do this. Hey, why don't we, let's walk Sky together. That's our dog. And so we've had some good moments like that. Those are the kind of things that I wouldn't even know how to do in the past. But I've been doing things like that. And then at the end of the day, I still go back to, because I'm working as well, so I can't be playing with them all day long or a lot of times. maybe toward the end of the day. So, and then I still feel bad that majority of the daytime they're occupied with their electronics, and that triggers something in me, you know, to make me feel like I'm failing as a parent and I don't feel safe.
I would begin to ask truth about what is it that's really bothering me about that. And just keep asking yourself questions till you get to the truth. Always with the intention of asking for truth. And just ask your spirit to reveal it to you when you're ready to hear it. And ready to know it. I encourage you not to try to be perfect and not to try to figure out is this damaging or hurting them. You are aware and you're wise and you're looking through the eyes of love and protection. So I would just congratulate you and accept yourself. Give yourself a big hug and say, wow, you're doing a great job.
Wow, that's hard for me to think that way.
Okay.
I'm feeling the opposite.
Right. Well, then you can ask them. You can sit down and start to ask your children, what is it you would like to see mommy do today? Or how would you like to see mommy in this position? And they will begin to open up and tell you how they would really like for you to be. And if it's uncomfortable, then you find a way to do something that is just as rewarding for them. So you don't want to repeat this generational pattern,
right,
that life can't be fun and life can't be have some disorder and I'm safe.
I'm writing some of these things down. What would you encourage me to do while I'm doing the trilogy?
I would do the trilogy and I would just be doing the trilogy. I would just be totally present during the trilogy. You have that inherent right to use that time just to be there without any judgment, without any condemnation, just to be there doing it and let truth come forth.
I feel like I try a little too hard sometimes when I'm doing it.
Yeah, because you got to get it perfect and you got to get it in order and it's got to just be right and you've got to get an outcome. So you have all of these expectations and demands on yourself and on the process that defeats the process. Is that a pretty accurate assumption?
Yeah, I think so.
And you can't do the trilogy wrong because you're doing it seeking truth, love, and light. Do any of your children dance?
No. I have two boys.
Two boys? Well, boys dance too. So when you see them in the moment when time and space has no control over them, what are they doing? They're just playing, being, and time is just, they don't even realize time's passing by. Have you ever observed what they're doing?
Dreams.
Huh?
They're doing electronics. That's what I'm struggling
with. Okay. So does your husband support your concern about the electronics?
not as we have agreed that we there's certain expectations, certain things they do outside the screen, but majority of time is still left with them being able to do electronics, and that's the part that's stressing me out.
And what's your belief about electronics?
That's damaging their brain development. You know, that time consuming that will allow them to just stay at one place. They won't be able to go out and play, you know, like what kids should be.
Is your...
So,
go ahead.
So, yeah, in many ways, I just think they're bad. And I feel strongly about it. It's hard to pull myself out of that to meet them where they're at. It's triggering the fear in me.
And how does your husband support you with them and support you to work through this?
He supported me to the point that he agreed that we need to have other things to expect them to do, but the part that makes him frustrated with me is that he feels like I'm stuck with my structure. I'm stuck with, in my head, okay, they're awake for 14 hours. There are maybe 2 hours that, you know, they have things to do, but the rest of the, 8 to 10 hours, they're on the screen, or they could be on the screen. And he feels that no matter what he comes up with, I will never be satisfied because I go back to the math of majority time they're still on the screen. So no matter what he comes up with, I'm never satisfied, and I keep asking more from the kids, which partially it's true. So
have you admitted that to him?
Kind of, by not defending myself.
Well, this thing with people spending, not only children, but adults and things, spending so much time in front of a computer or a screen or whatever, I think it's proven that it's not the healthiest thing emotionally, spiritually, mentally, or in any way for anyone at any age. And it's, but I think you and your husband are being very honest with each other. It's not, the root of it is that you can't come to a workable conclusion because he sees everything you doing as control, and you see everything the kid's doing as they're on the screen. And so it's not healthy. So it's this constant battle between the two of you and yourself and the children about lifestyle.
Yeah.
And you're on the right path. I mean, you're acknowledging it. You know it. You understand what it is. So just asking for truth and of how to protect them, to love them, and give them their freedom too. But I think understanding why, helping you understand your order and how it got to the extreme that it becomes stressful for you, and how to live through that and let there be some non-structure, or you not have to be in control or to make it happen, or whatever they're doing, they're safe. It may not be the highest choice for them, but they're safe and they're loved, and I can be grateful for that. I can be grateful they have screens, and as parents set up guidelines with your husband so you stand united about the time your own screens.
If I can ask just one thing, is the code Johanna gave me is for self-control. I was actually surprised first. I'm like, okay, so if anything, I have too much self-control. But I'm learning it seems to be a different definition than what I think. So I'm learning to understand that as I do the code, it to help with my, in my mind, it's more of a fear of losing control rather than self-control. Am I not understanding it correctly?
I think you're understanding it accurately, that that self-control can come under many umbrellas. And self-control is not bad, but it's when the self-control controls you to the point that it creates stress is when it's bad. Now, I think you've got a good picture of that. Yeah. And so, but if we don't have self-control, I mean, we would live in a very dangerous world, I think. And so it's the sense that the intent of the self-control that is causing the stress, which is not good for you.
Right. And so for me, it's totally a fear-based
yes.
motivation.
So how can it become love-based is what I would ask you. I would encourage you when you know you're in fear to say, what would love look like? What would love do? What would truth do? What would a very healthy control do?
I don't know.
Well, when you begin to ask your spirit and you're asking for truth, you will find out. Congratulations. Hey, that was a big let go of self-control. So you did not have to have the answer. Congratulations.
That bothers me.
Well, and where do you feel that botherness in your body?
Where does it bother me? In my
body? Where do you feel the... Go ahead.
Like what part of my body?
Yes.
I guess my heart.
So the heart is about love. The heart is about giving and receiving. So I would begin to ask myself, where is it that I am not willing to give? Where do I stop my receptivity of love and truth and light? And I would really encourage you to really be with that question. What would love do? How would love be? I sense you don't have any trouble being honest about it, but in being honest about it, there's a certain amount of pride. This is who I am. And so it's hard to break through that to get to let your spirit come through with love, truth, and light. I would take
so you're saying, so you're saying, as I meditate, just ask the question, like, how, what would a love-based self-control look like?
Yes. And I would ask myself, if I did not feel like I either had a self-control issue or that I was being self-control, what would that, what would it be? How would I describe myself? Because self-control is one of the fruits of the Spirit. But it's in a very healthy way.
Right.
And so normally a unhealthy self-control will fall under pride, lust of the eye, and lust of the flesh.
I don't know how to connect with, you mean the lust of the flesh?
Huh?
Did you say that an unhealthy self-control is connected with pride or lust of the flesh?
Lust of the flesh or the lust of the eye. And it sounds like some of your lust of the flesh is that You believe that your self-control is damaging for you and your relationships. And you don't know how to let it go.
Yeah.
And I offer you, you do know how to let it go. It's just too painful for you to look at what it would be like if it were, if you didn't feel like you were in total self-control. And you're not, because those kids are going to play on those screens.
Right.
They're going to disobey you. And your husband's going to get frustrated with you because he doesn't feel like he's being heard or appreciated. And so he doesn't know what to do with children that's not being obedient, and a wife who wants to be in self-control. And he's saying, whew, what do I do? I'm not, those are some scenarios of what could be going on in the subconscious mind. But I would, what's your hobby?
Oh, that's a good question.
Do you sing? Do you write? You love to sing? I would start to either find some music that puts some movement in my body, and or I would start to write music or sing music or dance to music or something. And, you know, I used to, when I was young, when I didn't feel safe, I would go get the broom. We had brooms and we didn't have vacuums. But I would go sweep off the porch and say, and make me up a song. I'm sweeping away my troubles. I'm sweeping away this person. They're out of my life. So So I put some movement and song to it just to get it out of me so I could breathe.
So are you suggesting for me to do something that I enjoy to do and mentally envision letting go
of unhealthy self-control? Yes. Ever how it gets out of you will be perfectly okay. You could even, you know, look at your boys playing on the screen. That's a part of self-control. Because it makes them feel safe. They don't have to do anything else. They're just perfectly at peace doing that. You know, and that's what Alex talks about in the Healing Code, the unhealthy action and the unhealthy beliefs.
Johanna did ask me if I remember anything, any moment in my past that I felt the need that I needed to really control things. And I don't remember much.
I think this is what I'm sensing. It was more of a lifestyle. So I would begin to describe what it was like being a child in my household. And you can ask your question, you can ask and answer them. What do I feel like I really, really needed that I never got? And am I able to give that to my loved ones now? Or when did I feel like that I was out of control in my household? Or what did I learn from the adults in my life that made me sense that they were very fearful, angry people? And how has that affected my life and my beliefs and my system? And it will come to you. If you're willing to know the truth, to be transformed into love, light, and truth.
Right.
And it is a journey.
These are the questions I never even thought about asking myself. I've asked myself a lot of questions. But I feel like the questions you asked me today, they're kind of almost like a different category. My mind never even went there.
Yeah, you're condemning yourself a lot. So anytime you condemn yourself, even with our questions, it restricts us. It restricts the flow of life. And things get tighter. And we do feel like we've got to be in control.
Okay, so I will start with asking my spirit to question the concept.
And just let it come. Don't force it. It will give it to you when you are ready to understand it and receive it in love.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thank
I
you
appreciate
so
you. You're so welcome. You're so welcome. Does anyone else have any comments or questions or anything? Star 2? And what we were discussing was interesting enough that no one left the call. So I think there was a lot of benefit received tonight. So thank you, everyone. Anyone else? Star 2? Well, I appreciate it. And the questions that we're willing to ask ourselves in truth will truly set us free in love, light, and truth. I love and appreciate each one of you. Thank you for joining me on these calls, for participating in these calls. The participation is a gift that I cherish. So I'm going to unmute everyone, and everyone can say good night. Remember, these calls are recorded. You can go back and pick them up and listen to them again. And we're going to get everybody unmuted in a minute. Okay, we're going to unmute. Unmute. All guests unmuted. And we're going to see if this works. Oh, 7, it didn't work. Okay, we're going to do it. Well, that's Linda, honey. You're not going to unmute yourself, so you just be kind. Thank you, guys. I love you. Everybody is unmuted. Cindy, web call, did you have a question or comment? Cindy?
Hello?
Cindy? Yes. Did you have a comment or question?
Sorry, I'm just brushing my teeth.
Well, don't let us interrupt your time here. Just go right ahead.
I just read the book, The Healing Codes. I think I got it a few days ago, and I read it yesterday. And then because I was really just seeking, I want to do a lot of healing in relationships. I'm so ready to heal so much. I bought the course yesterday, the healing relationships, and I have questions that might take a long time, so I think, you know, I'll come more often, but I really, you know, I've studied the chakras, the meridians, yoga, meditation, all sorts of things, and I've done lots of healing on so many levels, and I do, a lot of the stuff that's in the books really resonates with me. I was doing that healing, and I'm trying to, like, just understand the steps, you know. But whatever was happening, like, when I do those movements towards, you know, the bridge and my thyroid, Adam's apple, well, I call it my thyroid because I don't have an Adam's apple, but I feel it. Like, I feel a clearing. It's quite interesting. But my question on that was, one, if our heart is the place of all issues, you know, and we're working in the head area, that just is bewildering to me. And why would we not be working with the heart directly? I guess somehow it's connected. And two, I would love to do this work on my son, and I haven't read any part yet about how to work with others, but I'm just beginning, so I'm not really, I don't need to jump the gun or anything. But I also have to say, the lady that was speaking before me, thank you so much. Thank you. I so relate to what you're saying on screen time. There's days that I let go of the control of the screen time. I'm a single parent, so I don't have anybody else. So even though I don't have somebody else not supporting me or supporting me, I'm doing it alone and I get tired. So sometimes I am thankful that I have the babysitter of a screen And other times I'm also worried about the brain damage of the, it's not that it's brain damage. I feel like my son is very visual orientated. He's very right brain dominated. And it's making it more difficult for me to have him have success in school because our school systems are so left brain orientated. Longer he goes on the right brain with the video games and that visual, it's harder for me to get him to do anything left brain. So, and I see it, I feel it, but I have to let it go a lot because I work and I get tired. Everything on my plate with COVID, and it was already there. I think everything was already there, it just exasperated. So I'm really, really looking to work in relationships and see how it takes me because it was hard enough as a single parent just a demanding job to have a social life, and now I'm trying to figure out how do I navigate a social life with all these restrictions. Anyways, thanks so much for all the advice you gave. I'm sorry I didn't catch your name because I was late the call, but I just so appreciate everyone.
Well, thank you, and we appreciate your sharing. So we can take this up next week. I believe I'm back on next week. I think I am.
And what's your name, sorry?
Sorry, Linda Brewer. Linda Brewer.
Okay. Wonderful to meet you. Thank you.
Nice to meet you.
I was so excited, like I saw it in my inbox, and I was like, "Whoa, tonight!" this is great.
Well, it's every Thursday night.
Yeah.
We have there's two other ladies that also we used to have a lot more, but they've dropped out. It's great. I love it. I love the participation and. The participation is what makes it great for me because I just love each one of you. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, and I wanted to share when you're talking about the hand, I learned this through studying through some other people. In our throat area, it's about, it activates things we have been afraid to say, so we're finding our voice. In our jaws, we hold the anger. And in the temple, we live out of our brain. So that's the reason that temples get tight because we're trying to figure everything out in our brain. And the middle of the forehead, that is where all of our emotions come together.
Yeah, and I was wondering with the bridge, it makes sense to me because that's where the third eye is. And, you know,
yes.
Would that be like where the memories are stored? Like the
yes.
Yeah.
All of our emotions are stored there.
That's amazing.
And everyone has energy in their hands. They have healing energy in their hands. So we are uniquely put together.
Yes, we are. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. And we had another web caller from Santa Maria, California. And I apologize. You were not unmuted. If you have anything you wanted to say, you are now unmuted.
Hello?
Yes. How are you?
Hi. I'm okay. I just missed the hour, but I have something to share with you.
Okay.
In my area, I once somebody rang the bell, and when I got outside was a kind of weird guy who I was afraid of. He wanted to go in a in a car who with him was a robber or something like that. So he looked at me and I was a lot afraid. I came to the house and I was looking at the windows. I even took a picture. I didn't know what to do, to call the policeman. But then I start praying for my family and for me. And then I realized I'm not praying well. I think I have to pray for him. So I prayed for him to God, please give him everything he needs. He doesn't have to broke anything. He has to be happy to have everything. And I prayed for him and suddenly I wasn't afraid anymore. I didn't care anymore. So I think this is because I'm doing trilogy almost every day and I'm diabetic and I didn't find any improvement in diabetes, but anyway, I'm happy.
Well, thank you. That's a great note to end on. So thank you very much. Love and prayer does many things that are great for the giver, the prayer, the receiver. So thank you. That I love ending with that story. So good night. God bless. Stay in peace.
Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you. You too. Good night.
Good night. Good night. And thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you. Bye, Pat.
Okay, bye, Linda. Bye, everybody.